Welcome to A Day of Prayer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me.
Together, let's engage in relationship with Christ through prayer, faith, and His Word.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to A Day of Prayer's Morning Bible Study. My name is Layla, and we're so happy to have you here with us. But before we jump into the Word this morning, we're going to take a moment and pray. Lord, we thank you for today, and we thank you for another wonderful opportunity to get to know you better, Lord, to be conformed and transformed to the image of Christ, Lord. We ask that you will meet our needs, Lord, that you will minister to us, Lord, and that you always do what you said you're going to do, Lord. And we thank you for providing for us, Lord, and protecting us. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' almighty name, amen.
And amen. Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. So glad to have you with us as we continue to dive into the book of James and our newest study for this morning's Bible study. And this morning, we are going to be in verses 5 through 8. So could I get a volunteer to read that section of scripture, please?
I will.
All right, honey.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
Amen. So at this time, we are going to follow our custom and open the floor to give each of you the opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is speaking and ministering to you and to ask any questions that you have. So who would like to begin?
I would.
All right, Layla.
So the first thing that I want to look at in verse 5, where it says the Lord will give to all liberally and without reproach. It's a really nice thing to see. What that means is he's not going to scoff at you. He's not going to make fun of you because you're asking for wisdom, because you're asking for understanding, or any other thing for that matter. Whatever your need is, you can put that word there. And he's not going to go, well, you're not good enough to make this request of me, or anything of the sort like humans do at times. Mm-hmm. So you just see the heart of the Lord in this, and his character and his nature. He's not trying to push people away. He was serious when he said, I want all to come to me. I want all to come to repentance and to be saved. He mm-hmm. wasn't joking. He wasn't being facetious. He was serious about what he was saying, and he meant that, and he still does. Mm-hmm. And then going down to verse 6, 7, and 8, it's not the Lord withholding something from you. It's the... I know sometimes it can sound like, or the way you're reading it is like, the Lord's not going to give to you because you have these issues. That's an incorrect perspective. It's you can't receive from the Lord his fullness of what he's already provided for you and already given you because you left the door open for the adversary in one way or another or multiple ways. So you have to close the door to him. You have to shut the door to the adversary through fear or unbelief or doubting before you can receive the fullness of the Lord. Again, it's not that the Lord is withholding anything from us. It's not that he hates us or he uses lack and sickness to teach us. That's not his way, his character or nature. That will never be the case. And at the same time, we can't open the door for the adversary and then go, Lord, protect us from attack. It just doesn't work. So for us, our currency with him and the way we receive from him is through faith. And faith isn't like a light switch. You don't turn it on and turn it off. That's like gambling right there. You turn it on and you leave it on and you continue to grow it, mature it, exercise it, and use it so that you're able to believe, yes, for the small things. But when you really need that big miracle to raise the dead and do the things he charged us to do before he went back to heaven and gave the Great Commission, that requires more than just the standard faith of believing or just believing for $5 or finding money on the street. So to get to those places, we have to do the things that are required and the things that are necessary. It works first in the spiritual, but we also see that reflected in the natural. You want to be able to lift 250 pounds. Well, you have to start with the five and you have to keep working your way up there. It's not suddenly you're going to you know, bench 250 and think there won't be a consequence to your physical body because it wasn't trained to take that kind of weight. Like our faith is the same way. We have to train it to take that kind of spiritual weight so that we're able to succeed and do everything God called us to.
Amen. Hebrews 11, which is the book we did recently. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So faith is the currency that unlocks the door. It's what the Lord responds to. It's not desperation. It's not need. It's not urgency desire. Of time. It's not desire. It's not any of those things, but it's faith. So when the Apostle James, the brother of the Lord, tells us here, if you need something, come and ask for it. Enact the principles that the Lord has already set forth. But he says, ask in faith, because that's the currency. That's the door opener for us. Without doubting, right? Because doubt is a contradiction to faith. But if you ask in faith, you will receive. The Lord told us that plainly in the Gospels. It's repeated in what the verse we just read in Hebrews 11. And it's repeated here because God is a God of faith. So as we're walking in faith, it's just a basic trust that what God says he means. And then also the wisdom component that comes in, which is a something that you mentioned, Layla, is the understanding that this is a two-sided coin. You have to open the door for the Lord by asking, right, in
yes,
faith.
Mommy.
And you keep the adversary out by refusing to doubt what God has said. The thief comes for no other purpose than to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ came that we would have life and life more abundantly. So he made it available to us. And we have to go the way that he says, like take the pathway, the course of action necessary to get to it. And we have to follow up by understanding that there's a thief who's trying to steal the word or the manifestation or the provision or whatever it is that God has said is ours. Right, that we're accessing
yes,
by faith, but also being mindful not to accuse God of what the adversary is doing. Like you mentioned, God is not withholding anything from us. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. But it does not mean just because that God gave us all these things, it does not mean that number one, we don't have to ask or use our faith concerning it, because we do. And it doesn't mean that the adversary is not trying to rip it out of our hands and that we don't have to protect what the Lord has already given us, right?
Yes, mommy.
Yes.
So that even in and of itself, that component and aspect right there, that's the wisdom of the Lord so that we can understand what's happening. Layla, you had something you wanted to comment real quick?
Yes, mommy. Okay. And something that you and Dad tell us all the time, this is looking specifically at verse 8, double-minded man, unstable in all his ways, is a short way of saying that he'll allow himself to be tricked. Mm-hmm. By the adversary, he will give up what God already gave him. He'll give up the gift, the healing, the wisdom, the whatever it is, because he's afraid that he'll lose it if he follows the Lord. He or she, whatever the individual, will give up, inadvertently give up the blessing of the Lord through a lack of faith, being double-minded, mm-hmm. going back and forth, flipping their faith like it's a light switch on and off and on and off and on and off. They allow mm-hmm. themselves to be stolen from. So you won't receive anything. You get the grain and then you turn around and hand that bag of grain to the adversary. You're mm-hmm. still left with nothing. Not that the Lord didn't give you something, you didn't retain it. So there's a receiving and there's also a maintaining and keeping what God gave you.
Amen. Promise you had something, sweetheart?
Well, yes, mommy. I would like to taking what you and Layla were saying and tying that back to verses 2 through 4.
Okay.
And though we are going to read this later, I'd like to bring us to James 3:18. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And then we shall also go to Galatians. Galatians 5:22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay, and when we're talking about wisdom, we first also must understand that wisdom, like our like faith, is also a seed. We first must prepare our heart condition in order to receive it. If we go further up inside of James 3, it also talks about what heavenly wisdom is like. And it describes it as pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And so those must be first cultivated inside of us before we first get wisdom. And when we allow God to show us that manner and thought of mind and actually develop inside of God, that is a reflection of our faith, as in our obedience to God. Without works, faith is dead. And so when we actually have faith to receive wisdom with Solomon, he went and asked, and he also prepared himself to do it. Mm-hmm. He didn't think, oh, I like wisdom, so I'm going to grab it. He actually had a motive to actually receive it. And we must have the same motive inside of our own lives. We cannot guide ourselves. So how are we going to be able to actually move forward in his plan if we do not have his wisdom? And also, going to verse 6. I think Dad may know this better than I, but it talks about how... Sorry, it does not talk about it, but inside of the Sea of Galilee, I believe, there's seasonal winds that make exceptionally high waves. And so, for the waves, it's like a sine function. They're high one moment and then down the next. As in, they're lower than usual when they recede, that is.
Okay.
And so, for a double-minded person, we may have enough faith to move mountains one moment, but then the next, we cannot use it to actually do something, to be obedient to God's word. And that is especially important for us as believers. We technically can have faith inside of anything, but it's only faith inside of God's word that works.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different points here as it pertains to faith and wisdom, right? That have been brought up. As you were just speaking, your promise, that was exactly what the Lord addressed in Mark 11. Right? It really begins in verse 22. Right, have faith in God, or some versions are read or translated, have the faith of God. Where he says, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. For I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Right, so, and then he goes into saying about forgiveness and prayer, right? Where it is we must forgive, right? That is also a part or condition of how the faith works, right? You cannot have aught, but then expect that you are going to be so mighty in your faith, because faith also hinges off of love, right?
Yes.
And that's part of what was being discussed here about by everybody, right? Love is that linchpin, hinge point, if you will, for faith, for wisdom, the working of miracles, right? To receive those things that we ask for. Well, God is love, and the faith must be in him, right? And there's a number of scriptures that talk about that, just pertaining to faith and works. The Lord addresses that constantly. And that includes even with casting out demons, right? You see that in Matthew 17. I believe it's 17. One second. Let me check on this. Yes, 17 really begins in verse 20. Where the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, why could we not cast a demon out? And he said, because of your unbelief. All right? And he says, if you have faith like a mustard seed, you'll say it again to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible, right? But then he also says this kind does not go except by prayer and fasting. So understanding that in its fullness, you cannot reduce the Lord down to a formula. Right, there is an aspect, a facet of what's required is to walk clean before the Lord. Right?
Yes.
Having nothing within us that the adversary, Satan, the devil, can use to pull in order to prevent the will of the Lord from happening. Right?
Yes, Dan.
And that comes from, yes, first and foremost, receiving from the Lord his wisdom, right? That's one of the aspects that is mentioned concerning the Holy Spirit in Isaiah 11, right? He says that he's the spirit of wisdom, of counsel, right? And seven different portions or aspects of Holy Spirit are mentioned in there, right?
Yes.
So when we receive those, we're receiving of the Lord his Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to empower us, to carry out what the Lord has for us to do, when he has for us to do it, where he has for us to do it, right? Go where he says, where he sends you, say what he says to say, and do what he says to do. That's something we have, I'll say, taught and preached, right? Constantly, incessantly throughout this ministry, because that's what's found in our pattern example, Jesus the Christ.
Yes, Dan.
Right?
Yes.
So we see how we're supposed to live that out. So that kind of covers both aspects there, that what we were talking about, being clean before the Lord, right? Pure, which means that our heart is, I'll say, or the soil, the ground of our heart, right? Where the seeds will be planted have removed anything that would hinder its growth, right?
Yes.
Yes.
So that those seeds can be into the good soil and yield much fruit in our lives, but also in the lives of others. And not just the condition of our heart, but then our willingness to listen to the Lord and be obedient, because that is what is required of everyone.
Yes, sir.
Right? If we're willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. If we're willing and obedient, we will see that change that the Lord desires to bring in and through us to impact the people.
Yes, Dad. And then one other thing that as you were speaking, Dad, the Lord reminded me of, double-minded. Sometimes we get it confused. We think faith is something we do with our mind. And Brother Hagin called it mental assent. Yeah, we agree to God's word and we agree to his plan with our soul part and maybe even our bodies. Our mind is saying yes, but our heart is going no. So it doesn't work. It doesn't work for your heart to say no and your mind to say yes. It has to be your heart. Your spirit man is the one that, you know, has the connection to the spiritual realm and gives you legal access through your body, of course, to operate here in the earth. But you have to get your heart in line. It doesn't matter what your mind says. If your heart is not in it, it's not worth it. You're not going to get anything. Don't quite remember what chapter or verse of Proverbs it is, but we used to quote it in the game that we played. The miserly man, eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart isn't with you. Mm-hmm. His heart's not there. He doesn't actually want you to partake of his goods. He's just saying that this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Promise you got it?
Proverbs 23:6 through 8.
You want to read it?
Yes, I will. Do not eat the bread of a miser, nor desire his delicacies. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. The morsel you have eaten, you will vomit up, and waste your pleasant words.
Thank you, Promise.
You're welcome.
So there you have it. You waste your time and the Lord's time when you're not actually committed to do what he says to do. And it's the commitment to actually follow the plan and do the work that's required that produces the results, not your mental assent. I could say yes to you all day long, but say no on the inside and do the exact opposite of everything you just told me. Mm-hmm. So your heart has to be committed to him and committed to his word and his ways. Then the rest of your body will get in line, and then you'll see the fruit that you're desiring to eat of and have in your life.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Well, there's quite a bit in there. So why don't we pause there for today and allow time and opportunity to meditate on the scriptures, allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. All right?
Okay.
And with that, Can I get a volunteer to close us out in prayer, please?
I will.
All right, Layla.
Lord, we thank you for this time in the Word this morning. Lord, we thank you for the revelation and the wisdom that you've given us, Lord, the plan and the strategy to overcome and be successful that you have revealed to us, Lord. We thank you for being gracious and merciful, Lord, and being able and willing to take time to teach us the right way, your ways, Lord, so that we find life and we have it in abundance. We thank you for our partners and listeners, Lord, that you are causing them to excel, Lord, that they are being strengthened and encouraged, and they're doing everything you called them to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' amen. Almighty name, amen.
And amen. Oh, we love you. God bless you. And have a wonderful day.
Want to know more about A Day of Prayer?
Sign up for our newsletter where you'll get the latest updates on the ministry, inspiring messages, and coupon codes for the merch shop.
Visit our website, adayofprayer.org.
Click on Connect in the menu bar and complete the form.
Be sure to check the box that says Subscribe.
Thank you for listening to A Day of Prayer. We trust the Lord that you are strengthened and encouraged in your relationship with Christ. Visit us on our website, adayofprayer.org, where you can check out our blog, find additional study resources, or shop the official A Day of Prayer store.
Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." So until next time, take care and God bless you.